The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 men made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," the 10 lepers shouted. God alone knows how long they had suffered. Certain is the fact that they were unclean according to the law of Moses, and therefore outcast, banished from society, and forced to beg. Everywhere they went, they were obliged to yell and scream, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Apparently, misery loves company when it comes to lepers, because there was a Samaritan in the group. Because of the history of intermarriage with Gentiles and other things, Samaritans were considered half-breed apostates by the Jews. That means that the Samaritan with leprosy was doubly unclean. And it was this group that Jesus encountered in the no man's land between Galilee and Samaria. Jesus would have been perfectly justified to simply walk by and distance himself from this motley crew. And according to the law, that's exactly what he should have done. After all, there is no telling from which kind of skin disease these men suffered. The law didn't discriminate, and anything from eczema to full-blown Hansen's disease was considered equally condemned. Instead of ignoring them, however, we hear Jesus stopped and told the men to show themselves to the priest who would grant them a clean bill of health. The text tells us that as the men were on their way to the priest, they were healed. It's an interesting story, to be sure, and when it comes to the point of this passage, there are a couple of blind alleys that we need to avoid. The first is equating miraculous healing with salvation. Jesus never preached mercy and forgiveness to these men. And with his instructions, he simply told them to fulfill the law's demand. Of course, they were no longer outcast and unclean. And of course, they could return to normal life as normal men. Their healing did provide a second chance, so to speak, and it was a wonderful gift for which they should be thankful. Still, one day the men's health would fail and they would die. Jesus only prolonged the inevitable here, and that is not salvation. Seeking certainty of God's mercy and forgiveness in the experience of life, even the miraculous experiences involving one's health, is fraught with difficulty. Healed one day, dead another. Truly, one can never be certain that God is for him or her in experiences. And believe me, when death is knocking, certainty of God's forgiveness and mercy is what is needed the most. A second blind alley is focusing on the actions of the men as if their behavior provides a reason for God's behavior. Although 9 of the former lepers were rude and had no manners, their failure to thank God, in contrast to the one well-mannered foreigner who did, is not really the point either. Said another way, this passage is not a prescription for obtaining God's mercy and forgiveness through behavior. The only real difference between the Samaritan and the leper and the other 9 is the former had faith and the rest did not. Why? Why him, the least likely of the candidates? And with that, we come to the point of this passage. And the Apostle Paul tells us that faith is a gift of God, given apart from anything a person does or avoids doing. Said another way, God gives faith to whom he chooses for reasons only known to him. Said even more differently, creating faith is God's work alone. So we come to the heart of the matter. How did you get faith? The answer is because God has chosen to give it to you, and you see out of all the serendipity that is your life, out of all the places you could have been this morning, you are here within earshot of faith, making gospel being proclaimed. And that is not a coincidence. That is not your choice either. God alone has chosen for you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. God alone has chosen for you to hear that he is merciful and forgiving, just as Jesus preached. Jesus met those lepers as he was on his way to Jerusalem, you know. He met them on his way to keep preaching God's mercy and forgiveness, regardless of the consequences. Even as he hung between thieves on a cross, Jesus proclaimed that God is merciful and forgiving. And raised from the dead 3 days later, he still preached that God is merciful and forgiving of his betrayers in all places and in all times, even here, even now. That is why I say to you that God's mercy and forgiveness is yours without condition, because Jesus Christ is for you. That is your promise that creates trust in God who has saved you. Amen.